Thank you. Just a connection with the previous chapter, very last verse, thank you, that we read in chapter 27, Rebecca was very much now concerned with the very practical life experiences of Jacob. And she said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life, verse 46, because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these who are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? As young people, we start to move into these areas of our lives that have to do with very critical decisions. And marrying and associations with the world, the enemies of our God, are very, very important elements and decisions that we have. And so though Rebecca, we see some of the failures in Rebecca, Rebecca here has a very remarkable concern for her son, that he would not be mixed up with the nations that were around. She gives him and points him, or Isaac does, to where he should go to look for a partner. And it's very interesting, as we see here, that Isaac, upon hearing the instruction, as a man who, Esau, as a man who is after the flesh, seeing what displeased his family, you would think, well, mom and dad doesn't like this, let me stay away from this. No, but he runs to the very thing. You know, his feelings, his ego, all hurt by the experiences in life, the envy that existed between him and Jacob. He says, I'm going to do the very thing that is going to displease them. But we see with Jacob, he goes on to the place of the land of his family. And there, as he takes a place to sleep, God meets him there. This is a wonderful indication, young people, of though there may be challenges and failure, the Lord loved Jacob. The Lord wanted to commune and communicate with Jacob. And we are the Lord's. And though there may be ups and downs that we may experience, sometimes because of our own poor decision-making, disobedience, or there's the blessings that come because we are obedient to the word of God. God delights to draw near to us. And he draws near to Jacob here in this transition chapter. And he speaks to them. He gives them a vision. And what we need today, young people, is that we need a heavenly vision. We need to see things from God's perspective. Because what Jacob sees in verse 13... he sees the Lord that stood above it, stood above this ladder that was descending and ascending. We need to see things from that eternal perspective, God's perspective. And it helps us as we move into the normal, natural course of life to make proper decisions. God then does what? He reiterates the promises, the blessings that he first said to Abraham, that Isaac knew. He's saying it to Jacob. And I want each of us here, young people, to always be cognizant of the blessings, the promises that God has for us in Christ Jesus. If we don't lay a hold of that, then we go about living lives that are less than what he would want them to be. Because I think after this vision, Jacob arises and he has a different sense of urgency, a different vigor, a different attention, a different appreciation. So as we move into the next chapter, which is chapter 29, I think it's very important for us to appreciate the ground that we are on. We were talking about this a little bit at the end of our meal, that the next generation always has the greater challenge of learning to appreciate what the generation before had done, the hard work. You now are in the good of it. You say, well, how much do I have to work? It's already done. Well, if we don't work hard, if we don't appreciate it, we devalue it, and then it's so easily allowed to slip through our hands. So now we're going to look at chapter 29 as Jacob gets up from this vision as he says, he vowed a vow in verse 20, if God will be with me, because God promised that, and will keep me in this way that I go, and give me bread to eat and raiment to put upon, so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. It sounds, there's a contingency here, right? Mm-hmm. So the vision was momentary. And yet, he has a desire that he would go and come again in peace. But the real work in Jacob's heart still is down the road. Mm-hmm.
Now, that is usually the toughest meeting, is the meeting after lunch, where everybody's like, enjoyed the food, and now think that they could close their eyes. But we left this portion, especially after lunch, because it spoke about love and marriage and finding a wife and all of that stuff. So if you guys are going to fall asleep in that one, you're really in deep trouble. That should keep your eyes and ears open, and you should be awake. I just want to link what Brother Tony have said with a question that was handed to me. It said, God loved Jacob. Did he hate Esau? And why? Now, how many of you here are firstborn? Raise your hand. All righty. Because I'm one too. Now, how did you feel after the Bible reading this morning? Everybody was knocking down the firstborn, right? That Esau is just a man after the flesh. He's a wild man. He cannot control him. He's, you know, you kind of feel like, wait a second, why are they picking on me? And Jacob, he's worse than Esau anyway in his own subtle way. Thank God we are in the New Testament, because there's a spiritual meaning. It doesn't mean if you were born first that you are an Esau. You could be born first and you could be worse than Jacob. The idea is this, it's a spiritual thing. You and I have an Esau in us, the old man, that loved to do things his own way, loved to do things not according to the word of God. But we are born of God. And now we are not an Esau. We are not a man after the flesh. Though I might be physically born first, I'm spiritually born again. So now I have the blessing and the rights of the firstborn son, because the first one, Adam, was gone from the scene. Am I clear? So it doesn't matter if you're born first or second or last. We're not talking about physical birth in ranking, but we're talking about spiritual thing. If you are not born of God, you are an Esau. But if you are born of God, that which is belong to Esau should be gone completely from the scene. Am I clear? I'm confusing you more. Okay, you're not sleeping. You are awake. So, why did God love Jacob? Well, I'm going to turn it around. Why did God love me? I can't answer that question. But it is His grace. It is His grace. And that is really the answer. God was displaying His grace in loving somebody like Jacob. And that's what I want us to learn. That why did he love Jacob? I don't ask that question. I said, why did he love me? What did he see in me? Nothing good at all. Man that is born in sin. But that's God's sovereign love and sovereign grace. Now, well, look at what Jacob did. I just want to touch on the verse. He's a 40 years old man. You would think that he has some common sense now. He married two wives. According to the scripture, against the scripture all the way. His father had only one wife. Why did he go and marry two? Not only that, two were the daughters of Canaan. Even Rebekah said they made her life miserable. And that's a really vital and important thing for each and every one of us. In a couple of years, maybe less, maybe more, you're going to have to make a decision in regarding to a wife or a husband. Don't even think about marrying somebody who is not a believer, who is not have Jesus as his Lord. Don't you even think about it. This is like you being Isaac going to bless Esau, going contrary against the word of God. That's what Esau was doing. Worse yet, when he realized that these two were no good, he would say, okay, I got to get a believer. He goes to marry the daughter of Ishmael, a type of the flesh. I mean, the guy didn't get it. We need to be very careful because these are very important lessons for us to learn. And that's what Esau did. God in His sovereign grace loved Jacob. Esau despised the birthright. He really did not care about the blessing. As a matter of fact, he was so mad at his brother. His mother knew very well. She said, just give him a couple of days, he'll forget about it. It wasn't a matter of any serious anything. He'll just get so mad and then 2 days later, he'll forget about the whole thing. He was a man who's living for today, for the moment. Have no faith whatsoever. And with such a man, God have no pleasure. God delight in a man that have faith and trust in Him.